2 Samuel chapter 19, we read concerning Shimei in verse number 18 of that chapter. And there went over a ferry boat to carry over the king's household and to do what he thought good. And Shimei the son of Gera fell down before the king as he was come over Jordan. Few beam brighter on the pages of the Bible than King David, the king of Israel. Reared in the hills of Bethlehem, he was elevated from being just a little shepherd boy to the sovereign king of Israel. While Saul was still king, Samuel came and he anointed David to be king over Israel. As he said then, I quote, he found him a man after God's own heart. David had many friends and companions whilst he served the Lord as king of Israel. As he battled for the Lord, as he led the nation of Israel, David, he had many close companions. Perhaps there were none closer to him than the son of Saul, Jonathan. The Bible tells us they were so close that their souls, they were knit together, using the imagery there of sewing. And it seems that they were so close, they were such close companions, that their hearts, their lives were actually sewn together. David, throughout the course of his life, had other friends and other advisors, other helpers, other guiders, people who he leaned upon, people who he sought advice from. And David, yes, he had his friends, but during his time as king, he also had his enemies. During his reign, he conquered many, many nations, and he quelled the attacks of many, many nations who sought to take ground from the children of Israel. He fought with the Ammonites and the Philistines. And there were also other nations who were constantly at war with King David. He had national enemies, but King David also had individual enemies. There were those who were raised up during his reign, and they were constant thorns in his side. For example, in 2 Samuel chapter 18, you read even those of his own house. You read of Absalom, his own son, who rose up and sought to take the throne under the nose of his own father. Now David, throughout his reign, he was constantly at war with the house or family of Saul. There were those who were from Saul's family, and because David was the next king after King Saul, well, they didn't take too kindly to David, as it were, being the next king. And we read such an individual tonight in our text. Here we read of an individual named Shimei, who was from the family of Saul, and it seems they had formed a secret grudge against King David, and he cursed him and rebelled against him as king. However, in chapter 19 of 2 Samuel, you then find that there was a very, very different complexion, a very, very different complex as we look at Shimei here. As David, he returned from exile, as it were, as he returned to take up his throne, which Absalom had tried to steal from him, we now find Shimei in verse number 18. We read that Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down before the king as he was come over Jordan. And whilst he had previously been battling against the king, and he was stoning the king, we now find Shimei, there is something happened here, and he's now not battling against the king, but he is now bowing before the king. You see, the battler with the king can become a bower before the king. And just as Shimei, as he made that change, as he experienced that change in his life, as he obviously absorbed his sin, and he then admitted his sin, and he acknowledged David as his ultimate sovereign, so tonight the Lord would have you do the same. Maybe you've come in this evening, and yes, you're respectable, and yes, you attend the house of God, but like Shimei, maybe inwardly speaking, you're battling with the king. Well, the Lord wants you to make that step that Shimei made. He wants you, as it were, to put down your battles. He wants you to put down your sword, and he wants you to bow before the king. Indeed, shortly after the transfiguration, the Lord Jesus was dealing with the unbelief of a crowd of people. And in the midst of that crowd of people, we read in Matthew 17 and verse number 14, that there came a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed." And we find out of the midst of that unbelieving crowd, there was a man who had a son who was vexed by the devil. And what did he do? He came before Christ, who was his king, and he bowed before Christ, his king, and he asked the Lord to have mercy upon his son. And rather than standing firm against Christ, there needs to be a stooping before Christ. There needs to be, like Shimei, that acknowledging of your crimes, that bowing before Christ, and that crying unto him for mercy. I wonder tonight, which Shimei are you this evening? I wonder, are you the Shimei of 2 Samuel chapter 16? As we find him there battling against the king, as we find him cursing the king, or you're the Shimei of 2 Samuel chapter 19? Are you bowing? Are you bowing before the king? Are you asking him for mercy? Are you asking him? Are you bowing before him to be your king? Oh, tonight, which Shimei are you? Which Shimei are you? Are you battling or are you bowing? And so tonight I want to draw your attention to Shimei here as he bowed before the king. Shimei bowing before the king. Turn with me, please, to 2 Samuel chapter 16. For here we find, firstly, the sin of Shimei. In 2 Samuel chapter 16, we first meet Shimei, we first meet him in the Bible. He was a man from the family of Saul, and he decided that he didn't really like King David, didn't really like his rulership over him, and so he decided to remonstrate with the king. Thinking about his sin, notice here its depiction. In 2 Samuel 16, we read verses 5 and 6, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. He cast stones at David and at all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. David was just at this time leaving the city of Jerusalem. And Shimei here, who had been forging and hankering a secret hatred for David, he spotted the king and his men fast approaching him. As David approached Shimei, he began to lift some stones, and he then began to throw them at David and his men. He also began to shout at David, and in verse 5 he is said to be cursing. We read in verse 5 that he came forth and he cursed still as he came. So I want you to see the picture here. Here's David and his men, and they're marching, and there were probably a ravine. Shimei was probably over up in a hill, and Shimei's looking down at King David and his men, and he's cursing at them and hurling stones at them. The word curse here, it was used to describe the attitude towards something that's worthless, that's vile, that's disgraced, and that's brought low. Although David was king, and he was now king for quite a while now, Shimei here, he counted his king as a worthless man, as a vile man, as a man who was brought low. He also called him other names. Verse 7, we read he called him a bloody man. And he also called him a son of Belial. The phrase bloody man, it just means murderer. Whilst the phrase son of Belial, it means, again, a vain or a worthless man. So here's King David, and he's just going about his business, just leaving the city of Jerusalem. And yet Shimei, who really, quite frankly, at this stage, hates King David, he sees the king coming to him, and he begins to taunt him and literally throw stones at him. He was calling his king a nobody, a nothing. He was publicly humiliating David and defying David and treating David, his king, with tremendous contempt. And as a sinner before God, you're born as a dissenter to God. You dissent to and despise his rulership over your life. Wonder, like Shimei this evening, do we find you, maybe not openly, but maybe perhaps spiritually within your own heart, hankering a secret hatred for the King, King Jesus? Maybe are you dissenting against the king? Oh, tonight, maybe you don't have the stone literally in your hand, as it were, but spiritually speaking, you throw stones at Christ, your King. Perhaps you've been treating him lightly. treating him shamefully, treating him dishonorably. The king, he has a right to your warmth, he has a right to your worship. The king, he demands that you bow before him, that you adore him, that you give him your adulation. But I wonder tonight, inwardly speaking, maybe not outwardly, but maybe inwardly speaking, are you a Shimei? Are you battling with the king? Have you, as it were, the spiritual stones in your hand, treating your king despitefully? In Hebrews 12, verse 15, we read, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. The word fail here, it really means to fall short or to come short. Paul, he warned the Jews here of coming short of the gospel of grace, and he warned them essentially, as they would come short of the gospel, he essentially warned them of treating it with contempt. And as a sinner, you do not treat God with delight, but with disdain. As a sinner, you hanker that inward rebellion against your king. Now you say to me this evening, well, I don't lift a stone, I don't throw them at God's people, I don't throw them at Christ outwardly. But can I suggest to you that if you have never bowed before Christ, that inwardly you're doing this? Inwardly you're treating the king with tremendous disdain. I say to you that if you have never bowed the knee, then are you not treading down his offer of pardon? Oh, the Lord, he extends to you mercy and grace in that offer of pardon, but you've been treading it down. And you have, as it were, been throwing stones at his offer of mercy. You've been treating his work and his word as a light thing. The Lord demands that you submit yourself to the word of God. And the word of God clearly tells us to call upon the name of the Lord for salvation. And if you haven't bowed to the word and you haven't bowed to your king, then you have been treating Christ as a light thing. You've been, as it were, spiritually speaking, you've been taking your stones and you've been throwing them at the king. Oh, they might not literally be in your hand, but I suggest if you've never bowed, then you're spiritually stoning the king. The sin of Shimei, its depiction. Notice also here its destruction. 2 Samuel chapter 16, we read in verse 9. Then said Abishai the son of Zariah unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. It seems that Shimei was on a hill, and he was cursing David over a ravine. There was probably quite a distance between them. And so Shimei, as he hurled his stones at King David, they probably never really reached him. And if they did, there was such a long distance between them that they probably never harmed him. And when Shimei was treating the king with such contempt, Abishai, the nephew of King David, and also the leader of his army, the general of his army, well, he wasn't best pleased. He didn't like to see his king, his king and commander as well. He didn't like to see him treated with such contempt. And so he comes to King David, and he literally says to him, can I chop that man's head off? Can I take my sword and chop his head off? Now you say to me, that seems a little bit extreme. But was it? Because he was absolutely justified in wanting to do this. In the Levitical law, in Exodus chapter 22, verse 28, we read, thou shalt not revile the gods, nor curse the ruler of thy people. And one of the curses for cursing the ruler of your people was that you would actually die. So here's a man, Shimei, and he's speaking ill of his king, and he was actually committing a crime that was guilty of death. He was committing a great sin, and it was so great it was deserving of death. And disobedience before God and lack of submission to God is deserving of death by God. You see, God must judge and must punish sin. Revelation 19 tells us, the true and righteous are his judgments. And one of God's attributes is that he is a God of justice. And the fact that he is a God of justice, it stems from the fact that he is wise and that he is holy. And because he does all things wisely and does all things with a holy righteousness about them, therefore in his justice, when you don't treat him as he ought to be treated, and you treat him lightly, you treat him lewdly, then as your judge, he must punish sin. It's a just thing that God would punish you for not submitting to him. We think about this, and that maybe sounds a little bit harsh. But if you don't bow before Christ as your king, you're actually guilty of idolatry. You're guilty of breaking one of the commandments. You're guilty of putting another thing in place of God. And so in sinning before him, he must punish you. And so the punishment of your crimes against an eternal God is eternal destruction and perdition. Oh, tonight, just like Shimei, you've been rebelling against the king. And you now stand before the king with a sentence of death hanging upon your soul. Indeed, in 1 Kings chapter 21, we see the just judgment of Ahab. You remember what Ahab did, the old wicked king of Israel? Remember how he came, and Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said she wanted Naboth's field, and she wanted it for herself. So King Ahab, he came and he went to Naboth, and he eventually then slew Naboth and simply took Naboth's field. Then the Lord comes to Elijah, and he tells Elijah to go and speak to King Ahab. And in 1 Kings 21, verse 19, we read, "Thus saith the Lord," this is what Elijah is saying to Ahab, "Hast thou killed and also taken possession? Thou shalt speak unto him, saying, Thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine." And as he had committed crimes against the God of heaven, the Lord, he then judged him. And just as he killed Naboth, the Lord came and the Lord judged Ahab for his crimes. And whilst Christ is fair in the sense that he's beautiful, he is also fair in the sense that he is dreadful. My friend, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a fair and a just God. He must exact his justice upon you for your sin. And oh, tonight, if you are to perish in hell, it will be because you deserve it. You deserve it. Why? Because God is a just God. He is a wise God, and because he is all wise, he must deal as a judge wisely. And if you stand before God, your judge this evening, and you stand before him as guilty, then he must exact that fair punishment upon you for your crimes. Oh, see yourself as Shimei, guilty of rebelling against the king, and also his crimes deserved death. You know, there was a man, a pastor, and he came to a farmer. He had just moved to the area that he was ministering in. And he asked him, "Do you belong to the Christian family?" The man said, "No, the Christian family, they live just two doors down. You've got the wrong house." Well, the man, he said, no, I mean, are you lost or are you saved?" The man said, "Lost? I'm not lost. I've lived on this farm for over 30 years. The pastor then said, "Well, I mean, are you ready for judgment day?" The farmer, he being a little bit confused, he said, "When is it? When is this judgment day that I need to be ready for?" The pastor said, "Oh, it could be today, it could be tonight, it could even be tomorrow." Well, the farmer said, "When you find out for sure what it is, let me know. I'll tell my wife, she'll probably want to go both days." And today, my friend, we don't know when the judgment of God will come. But when it does come, and you're either taken out of this scene of time in death, or the Lord returns in his second coming, and he punishes you for your sin, my friend, you will deserve it. You will deserve it. But you know, here's Shimei, and I want you to see this. He deserved justice, but David didn't exact it. David didn't punish Shimei for his crimes in 2 Samuel chapter 16. Because we find him then in 2 Samuel chapter 19, again appearing on the pages of the Bible. David spared him and gave him another opportunity. So I want you now to see not only the sin of Shimei, but notice secondly here, because of the mercy he had received, notice the surrender of Shimei. Turn please to 2 Samuel chapter 19, and we will see here Shimei surrendering before his king. As King David, as he appears on the pages of the Bible here, he has just been restored to the kingdom. He had experienced battles with his son Absalom, but now Absalom was dead, and he was now coming back to assume his royal position as king. And this time, Shimei's attitude's completely different. Now we find him not sinning before the king, but surrendering before the king. And in his surrender, notice here his recognition. Verse 20, he bows before the king, and we read, "Thy servant doth know that I have sinned." Here's Shimei, and he was involved in stirring up the rebellion against King David with Absalom. He was of the family of Saul. He didn't really take too well to the fact that David was now king and Saul was no longer king. And so he now comes before David. And you remember the last time that Shimei saw David. He saw David and he was stoning him. He had stones in his hand and he was cursing the king. But now this time's different. Now he bows before King David. As soon as he sees the king coming towards him, he immediately bows before him. And when he bows before King David, he recognizes and acknowledges all that he has done before him. He simply fesses up. He confesses and he states that he knows he has sinned, and he makes an honest confession of his sin before the king. You see, your sin before the king is not unknown. It is to be made known. You must bow before the king and make known to him your sins. Now the Lord knows your sin anyway. I was just reading before I came out in the Psalm 69. And there, David, there in that psalm, he says, "Lord, thou knowest that I have done foolishly, and thou knowest my sins." The Lord knows your sin. But at the same time, he wants you to make them known to him. He wants you to be honest with the Lord, to, like Shimei, to bow before him and to simply own up that you have sinned against the God of heaven and to confess your sins before him. Indeed, in Psalm 38, verse 18, David again, he says, "I will declare mine iniquity. I will be sorry for my sin." And you'll notice that David there, he did two things with his sin. He showed God his sin, and he was also sorry for his sin. And as well as being sorry for your sin, the Lord wants you to show him your sin. He doesn't want you to try and hide your sin, to conceal your sin, to confide your sin. He wants you to confess it. He wants you, like Shimei, to realize that maybe you have had the stone spiritually speaking in your hand. Maybe you have been rebelling against the king. And if you've never come to him, then he wants you to confess that you have sinned before him, to recognize his sovereignty, and to take your rightful place as a lowly sinner before a holy God. You know, so often in life, we try to play the blame game. We try to blame other things, other people, other circumstances for our wrongdoings. But the Lord doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to fess up. He wants you to confess your sin before the God of heaven. His recognition. Notice also here his request. Verse 19 we read, as he bows before the king, that he said unto the king, "Let not my lord impute iniquity unto me. Neither do thou remember that which thy servant did perversely, the day that my lord the king went out to Jerusalem." Shimei, he came before the king, and he bowed before him and confessed to him all of his crimes. And as he confessed his sin to David, I want you to notice exactly what he said here. He asked that his iniquity wouldn't be imputed to him. In other words, he was simply saying, "Look, I know I'm guilty. David, I know I'm guilty. But David, don't hold me accountable for my sin." In not being held accountable for his sin, he proceeded then to ask, "Neither do thou remember that which thy servant did perversely. In other words, he was saying, David, forget my sin. David, forgive me for my sin and forget my sin altogether. And in salvation, these are the steps that you must take. You must firstly confess your sin before the king, and then possess your sin before the king, and ask God in Christ that he will forget your sin and that he will forgive your sin. Oh, through Christ, this is exactly what is offered. He offers you peace. He offers you pardon. In other words, the fact that you're guilty, all of your crimes can be completely wiped clean. You can experience pardon before the king. Christ offers you all of these things through his cross work, but you must come and confess your sin to him. Indeed, in Jeremiah 31, we read verse 34, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them. I will forgive their iniquity. I will remember their sin no more. And Jeremiah here, he encouraged the children of Judah that they were to know the Lord. And whenever they would know him in a personal relationship, he promised that he would forgive their sin and that he would forget their sin. And through Christ, whilst your sins are forgiven, they are also forgotten. Christ, he grants you pardon, and he takes your sin and he throws them behind his back. Oh, what pardon is offered to you. Yes, tonight you have the stance of Shimei. You have maybe, as it were, spiritually speaking, you've been lifting the stone, you've been cursing your king. And yet you can come. You can come to the King Jesus Christ this evening. And you can say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me for my sin. And Lord, forget my sin. And he has promised that he will do these things. You know, a man lay dying in a hospital bed, but as he was there, he remembered an old enemy that he had, and he called the nurse, and he said to gave the nurse the name of the man, and he said, look, I have a grudge against this man. Before I die, I want to make square with him. And so the nurse, she went, and she called this man his enemy. The enemy then walked into the hospital, and he sat at the hospital, at the front of the hospital bed before this other man who was dying. And he said to him, my enemy, I've called you here today to say I'm sorry for all the wrong I've done to you. And then he paused and he said, but mind you, if I get out of this bed, you can be sure that the old grudge still holds good. But you know, the Lord's not like that. When the Lord, he forgives you, he also forgets your sin. And if tonight you come before him and you make open confession of your sin, then whilst he forgives you, he also forgets. The Lord's not like other people, where sometimes they say they forgive you, but really they remember it. The Lord, he forgives, and the Lord forgets. The sin of Shimei, the surrender of Shimei, he asked the Lord to forget his sin. Notice lastly here the salvation of Shimei. Verse 23, we read in 2 Samuel 19, the king said unto Shimei, thou shalt not die. And the king sware unto him. The sons of Zariah, they were calling for the death of Shimei. Whenever they saw Shimei again in 2 Samuel 19, as David was now ascending the throne again, they said, Lord, this was the man who cursed you. Verse 21, he said, shall not Shimei be put to death for this? They remembered his crimes. They remembered him stoning the king. They remembered him cursing the king. But the king, he turns to them. He tells them to keep quiet. And then he turns to Shimei. And he says, Shimei, you'll not die. And he made him a promise. Verse 23, notice it again. The king swore unto him. And the word there, swear, it means to make an oath or a promise or a covenant. And he said, Shimei, I see it. I see you fessed up. I see that you've confessed your sin. Shimei, I see that you don't want your sin to be remembered. Shimei, you'll not die. Shimei, you will go free. And when the Lord gives you pardon, the Lord also gives you his pledge. He promises that whenever you submit yourself to him and you confess your sin and you ask him to forgive you for your sin, he promises you forgiveness. He gives you that pledge. And he says to you, you'll not die, you'll not perish in hell, rather you will live forever in heaven. And he makes you that promise that he will do it. Oh, tonight, what a promise is made to you. That if you confess your sins, the Lord says to you, you'll not die. Oh, yes, physically speaking, you'll experience physical death. The soul will be separated from the body. And your body will be placed in a grave. But your soul will live forever. Your soul will live in heaven. And you will experience the promise that Christ has extended to you. Thou shalt not die, and I swear it unto you. Oh, tonight, why not come before the Lord? Why not, like Shimei, bow before your king and acknowledge your crimes? Acknowledge that you've rebelled against him and ask him to forgive and to forget. The Lord's promised he'll do it. The Lord's promised he will take your sins and he will forget them. Your sins will never be remembered. Shimei coming before the king. May God bless his word to your hearts and souls tonight.